Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When's the last time y'all thank Jesus for your elbows? Come on now. You thankful for them right now, aren't you, huh? You thought about that. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Mighty, mighty nice. What a blessing to be reminded of all that we have to be thankful for, huh? Amen. So many things. Even the fact that you can close your eyes, huh? Have you ever thought about all that your eyes have seen? Think about that for a moment. Aren't you glad your eyes can't testify against you? Imagine if your eyes could talk. We'd be hiding right now, huh, Brother Shannon? Amen. Now, there are eyes who have seen everything, and it will bear witness, but I'm just thankful my eyes can't tell y'all everything I've seen in my life. Amen? Right. I'd be ashamed of it. How many of y'all, who wants $100 right now? Raise your hand. Y'all lying in here. Ain't nobody raising their hand. $100. Who wants $100? You don't want you want more than that, Miss Sadie? You got all you need. Amen. 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 Bill, you got $100 bill? I was gonna give it away. I just figured Bill had $100 bill. Yeah. A 20? No, we're dealing with hundreds. We only deal with hundreds. Oh, somebody's got 100. Look a here. Somebody said Carolyn got all the money. She just don't bring it to church with her, huh? That's wise, huh? Hey, I can't give Miss Pat's $100 bill away. That's probably Christmas money, Miss Sadie. I couldn't do that. You can't give what you don't have, right? I could borrow yours from your children, huh? Yeah, they got it, huh? who want Brother Roy? You want a cup of coffee?
Well, I would enjoy one.
You would enjoy one. But I don't have no coffee to give you. Oh, we can make some coffee. Let's see. I said, Brother Stanley, come up here. Come take care of this coffee for me. Brother Roy said he wants a cup of coffee. I can't give you coffee if I ain't got it, right? Let's try this out, see if it's going to work for us. Now, Brother Stanley, if you spill it, they're going to get mad at you, not me. Y'all see that, huh?
I didn't feel the part of.
Let's see if that thing will work in here. Hit the button on it. Light come on?
Lights on.
Lights on. We're going to brew some coffee. Brother Roy said he'd take a cup of coffee. All right. Thank you, Brother Shannon. Yep. We'll let that go. Now, what do I need to make coffee, though? If I'm going to make coffee, I need something. What do I need? Well, no. Coffee's coffee. It takes coffee beans, right? And what else do you need? You got to have a little water, but just cold water and coffee, that'll take a little while to make cold coffee. There is a cold brew coffee, but that takes some time, doesn't it, Stephanie? Stephanie likes coffee. She likes fancy coffee, too. Y'all ever like that fancy coffee from places like Starbucks? Man, that's too much money.
Amen.
Huh, Miss Alona? Yeah. But my fancy bride likes fancy coffee, so every once in a while I cough up the dough. Matter of fact, who wants some dough in here? Anybody want any dough? Now you trying? I ain't messing with your head in here when you say dough. I know what y'all thinking about. How many of y'all ever call money dough? Some dough. I got some flour in here. Let's see. Let's see if we can do this without making a mess. All right. How many of y'all sift y'all's flour? All right, now if I'm going to give y'all a little dough, what else do I need? What's that? Can I just give you some dough if I give you flour? What else do I need? If I wanted to give you some dough to make some biscuits, y'all give me some ingredients. What will I need? I need some buttermilk. Or if you want to make, a biscuit without buttermilk, you can use regular sweet milk, or you can use what? You can make it with water, right? They're not quite as good, but you'll still get some dough. What else would I need? Shorten. What kind of shorten works best? What kind do you like using? Now, I know this is all preference. There is no right answer. Crisco. Who else? What kind you like, Mama Rob? Crisco. Who uses another kind?
There is
another kind. Who uses lard? Lard. How many of y'all just use butter? Mama use lard. Well, if I have flour and I have buttermilk and I've got a little lard, is there anything else I need? A little baking powder. What's my baking powder going to do? Make it rise. Somebody adds a little salt. Who adds a little sugar? You need a little heat if you're going to get a biscuit. Now, to get dough, that's all you need, right? What we're dealing with here. But if you want a biscuit, you got to have a few more ingredients. But when we offer somebody a biscuit, or we offer them some dough, or we offer them $100 bill, or we offer some coffee, we could really only give what we have, right? You can't give what you don't have. And that's a given with anything. And what you put into something. For an example, I took this flour, put it in this sifter, I sifted out. What I put in is what I got out. Well, these same principles apply to you and me in our daily walk with the Lord. I can't give away truth if I don't have truth. I can't give a testimony if I don't have a testimony. I can't give the gospel if I don't possess the gospel. And that is the application of how we live from day to day, is that we often find ourselves claiming to have something to give away, but we really haven't put anything in. And that's why we don't get much out. Whatever we put in is what we're going to get out of it. Amen? And the same way with coffee. We can take ground beans, put it in this pot, put a little heat to it so it's going to steam this water, and then put the water to it. When you mix it all together, we get what we call coffee, drinkable coffee, something to drink. And that's the same concept, or the same principles, the same idea of when I take the truth of the Word of God and I mingle that truth of God's Word with faith, I have something of eternal value to give away to other people. Look in Acts chapter 28 real quick. This is what we see with the Apostle Paul. But in Acts chapter 28, in verse number 30, the Scripture says, at the close of what we have of the account of the Spirit of God working in the people of God in the book of Acts, we see that at the very close of the book, it gives us this picture of how Paul's life toward the very end played itself out within the providence of God. The Bible says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no one forbidding him. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. As we think about that for a moment, he couldn't preach the kingdom of God or teach the things concerning Jesus Christ unless it was in him. It had to be in him. What he put in him was able to come out of him. And when we mingle, the Bible talks about that, that the Jews, for an example, when they traveled through the wilderness and they heard the word of God throughout the history of the nation of Israel, Romans refers to it the fact that they heard the report, that it just wasn't mingled with faith. It's when we mingle it with faith, it becomes something that becomes usable for those people that are surrounding us. Because what we put in comes out. And what I have, I'm able to give. And what I have to be cautious of, making claims of having something or making promises that I can give something to someone, but I don't have it. No different than me in here today asking who wants $100 bill or who could use $100 bill and with the intentions to give you $100 bill, but I don't have $100 bill to give. I'd have to go get it from somebody else to give it to you. And as a believer, one of the primary functions or fundamental roles we play is that we are to be givers. But I can't give what I don't have. And that's what is so important of hiding the truth within us. Putting the truth of God within our being, in our core, that it transforms and renews our mind so that we have that which is of eternal value to give away to people. To give them. To give them. Paul had it.
Amen.
And he gave it away.
Yes.
I want it. So that I can give it away. Amen. And I'm going to give you several things about truth that ought to be a desire of us out of this passage in the fact that how he was able to do what he did and give away. These are just simply, I'm going to go through them quickly for time's sake. But it rolls like this, a sevenfold principle of how I see these things, of him preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, is that every desire of a true follower, a witness of Jesus, ought to desire to seek and surrender and strive for biblical truth in their lives. Why? Because it has a starting point. And it has an end. It has a place that it brings glory to God. And I want to just lay them out for you. You can write them down. We'll probably talk about them again in the coming days. And just number one, we want to have truth that precisely promotes Christ. Truth that precisely promotes Christ. Or you can just say, promotes the Lord Jesus. I've alliterated them to try to help you remember. It's truth that is eternal. The Bible says that Paul preached the kingdom, that is the righteous reign of God, and he taught the things concerning Christ, the Lord Jesus, and how that has an effect. He precisely promoted Christ. And whatever truth we're digging in, wherever we're striving for, Mama Rob, or surrendering to, or dealing to help other people, it must be centered in Jesus. Amen? Because if it's not centered in Christ, if it's not promoting His agenda, what He's come to do, it's not eternal. It's not eternal. It doesn't have an eternal influence or impact. And everything the Bible teaches us, every time we see in the book of Acts, and this is what we find as the role of the Spirit of God working in the people of God in the book of Acts, they preach Jesus.
Amen.
And that applied in every facet of life. Do y'all think Jesus makes a difference in our life? Do you think it makes a difference in this world? We need to precisely promote Jesus. Now, we could only do that if we are hiding that truth within us. Amen? So that we can mingle it with faith, that we can attach the truth we have with faith to be able to give it away. And it's eternal. It's truth that is eternal. It's truth that makes a difference. It's truth that transforms lives. It's truth that changes people because it's God's truth and because it's His truth. As Stephanie's saying, the uncreated one. God was not created. He is the Creator. And when His Word becomes alive within us, that eternal Word not only changes us, but it has a way of transforming those around us when we give it away. We give away truth. Not our opinions on truth, but give away truth. Amen. Truth that God has said about Himself. Truth that He says about His Son. Just preach Jesus. Preach what God said about him. And let that transform who we are as a person, and that will have an effect on people around us. Amen? Truth that precisely promotes Jesus. It's eternal. It's truth that is eternal. The second principle would be truth that profoundly penetrates my conscience. It's truth that engages my conscience. You've heard me say this before. There's going to be times in your life and in my life, we've all experienced this, when truth is communicated to us and told to us, or we read it, whatever it may be, Carolyn, it will create a crisis of conviction or in our conscience, because we've known another way of thinking, another way of living. The word conscience simply means with knowledge of something. When your conscience is a tool that God's given every man that bears witness with us when we have knowledge of a thing. For an example, God, you've been taught from a child that it's best not to trespass, right? You've been taught by a child, from a child, that you do not murder, you do not kill other people. And when you hear of people killing other people, your conscience within you bears witness to what you heard and saw and to truth, and it deals with you. You know that's wrong, or you know that's right, because of your conscience. And what we want is the truth of God to engage our conscience in the fact that it profoundly, profoundly penetrates our conscience, that we determine everything based on the truth. The scriptures would refer to it like this. Our warfare is not to be done with fleshly means, with carnal things, like men battle and fight. But we're able to pull down things that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Strongholds and fortitudes of this world we live in. We're able to pull those things down by battling in the spiritual realm based on truth, so that we can take every thought captive unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens where? It starts within our conscience. And the truth exposes our conscience to God's truth based on Christ. And when we hear things, see things, do things, or smell things that are contrary to the ways of God, our conscience bears witness with us that that's not fitting. That doesn't fit up with God's kingdom. That doesn't match up. I can't do that, though, Tabby, if I don't have it in me. Amen? Amen. I cannot. The truth can't affect my conscience or what I see or hear if I don't have the truth in me. That's why it's so fundamental. Because you know as well as I do, you've seen things before that you promoted and you stood by and you might have been involved in that you thought was okay because that's all you knew. But then God's truth penetrated your conscience one day. And he showed you that that which you once promoted and stood by and stood for was actually contrary to him. And now you have knowledge of that because the truth profoundly penetrated your conscience. Now, when you hear it or see it, you automatically know, hey, that's not fitting. That don't match up with the things of God. Why? Because your conscience has been dealt with. And we as a believer, I want God to deal with my conscience. Amen? So that I can determine on Vivian what's right and what's wrong, not based on necessarily what my mom and dad taught me, and I believe they taught me some good things, but they taught me some bad things too. And not necessarily what TV's taught me or the radio's taught me or necessarily what I've taught you. What needs to be, what really measures what I see and understand to be right or wrong, truth or error, is not what people have necessarily taught me, but what the Word of God has penetrated within my conscience, that it is the standard by which I determine and judge everything. Amen? That's how we want to live. But that can't happen, Bill, unless it's what? What I put in me. Amen? That's why, for an example, the Scripture says in Psalm 119, "For I have hidden the Word of God," where? "That I may not sin against," you know what, but it's got to get to the conscience before it ever gets to your heart. Because the conscience, though it works for us, it's not enough. I got to know what's right and wrong by a standard of measure, but I got to have something that goes deeper than my conscience. That's the third principle. Let's see. Not only profoundly penetrates my conscience, but truth that perpetually permeates my core, my being, who I am. Truth that enriches my core. As Hebrews 4:12 would say, the Word of God is discerning. And it has a way of separating between the joints and the marrow. It gets down deep within us so that it begins to change who we are as a person, as a being, because our conscience has been affected by it, but it's reached deep within us to change who we are. And I need truth to permeate deep within me and continually transform and renew how I think and what I do, which leads me to number four, truth that practically prepares my convictions. You see, my convictions are based on what I know within my core, which has to go through my conscience. And if I don't have convictions on why I do what I do, I'm going to be subject to anything, won't I? So we need biblical truth in us to establish our convictions on how we live. Amen. So that it will affect the conduct of our life and how we communicate truth that God's hidden within us. It has to be. Because, Deborah, I can't give away what I don't have. I can't give Brother Roy a cup of coffee. We brewed some coffee. Now that we mingled these coffee beans with a little hot water, I have something I can give him now. I can give him some coffee.
Thank you very much.
Because we took a little bit of coffee grounds, coffee beans, added some water, put some power to it, made it hot. We was able to brew some coffee. Now I have something I can give him. You and I, as the believers in Christ Jesus, those who have been washed in the blood, if we want to give a testimony of way. See, God's been establishing testimonies along our journey. He established another one in Tabby's life this week. To have a testimony, you got to have something that God gave you, put you in, put you through, bringing you through, brought you out of with for His sake and for His glory so that you can give it away. Amen. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with pointing to another brother or sister who has a testimony. There's nothing wrong with saying, look, I want to send you to over Brother Bill. He's been through a few things and God's brought him through it. Or Brother Shannon or Miss Pat or Mr. Bud or Miss Sadie or Rusty, whoever it may be. They've got a testimony of what God's done in their life. I'm going to send you to them. And that's okay. You can point and send people to people. But the key is, do I have something in me? He's fired up, ain't he? Something's got to be in me to give it away. And I can't preach the kingdom and I can't teach about Jesus unless it is in me. And it begins when His truth centers on Christ. His truth begins to deal with my conscience. His truth gets deep down within my core of a being, so that my convictions can be set and established, so that my conduct, what people around me are going to see, and how I live my life has to be purposely transformed, so that His truth affects my compassion. You know, we're all compassionate about things that are personal to us. You know, some people will pass up a person in need and hurting, and has a legitimate need to go to provide a need for an animal before they will a person. Why? Because animals are something that's personal to them. They take, Brother Roy is one of those animal type guys. Not that he neglects people, because he likes telling people about Jesus, and I believe he'll help. We talked about this past week about helping people. people in need. The Bible says give to everybody who asks, right? Do you always do that, though?
No.
All right, now. So you see, that's why truth's important. I may know the truth, but I don't mingle the truth with faith. What happens is it don't transform my conduct, how I live, because it don't become a conviction to me. But when it comes a conviction to me that I'm to give whoever asks and not worry about all the details around it, not that you don't have to know, when God penetrates your conscience with somebody that's going to misuse what you give and you know that, you need to be smart on how you give, right? You still have compassion for the person. And you still want to help the person. You still want to be able to help them more than just give them a temporary fix on a thing because you have compassion for them. But some people, on the other hand, could care less about people and they're more concerned about a puppy or a cat or a dog or you name it because that is something personal to them. You see, the thing about truth, what it does, because truth is connected completely, because God is a God of truth. It is His Word. It is His ways. It's His agenda. When His truth deals with our and establishes our convictions, you know what we start doing? We start having compassion for the things He has compassion for.
Yeah. Amen.
And we start having compassion for people who are perishing in their sin.
Yeah.
And we start having compassion for people who are without a shepherd, as He was. You see how this affects us. And it will change how our conduct is. But see, we can show people and do things for people, but if I don't have compassion for people, my conduct is not received as something that is eternal or heavenly because I'm not showing compassion. I'm more legalistic than I am graceful. Are you with me? So every step of this, and if I communicate the gospel in the ways that God's given me how to live, but my conduct doesn't match my communication, my witness becomes void to them, doesn't it? And if my witness is void, it's because my compassion is lacking somewhere. It ain't in line with the truth. And because my convictions are out of line, because the truth hasn't transformed the core of me, my conscience has not been pricked by the truth. And because I'm not centering things upon Christ, but when His truth becomes the center of my life, and He begins to deal with my conscience, and it transforms who I am, and He begins giving me compassion for people around me who have physical, emotional, spiritual needs that I can be a benefit and help with a tenderness, with no advantage on my point. You know, as the scripture says, pure and undefiled religion is what? Helping those that can't do anything back for you, right? I mean, what can we return unto the Lord that He hadn't already given to us? He didn't need anything from us. He did what He did for us out of His compassion, out of His love for us. Amen? Well, you see, when truth transforms us, that's how we begin to serve one another. It's not that I can get a thank you out of you or you can give me something in return. I'm going to sacrificially do what I do for you because I love you and have compassion for you. Not that you can bless me back. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because truth has transformed who we are. It's made the difference within us. Because something's in me that now I can go give away. And when people begin to see that on me and the job and the community around us, within you, your conduct, your compassion, and your communication are all centered around the life of Christ. What happens is you have something to give away. And it transforms your surroundings. Amen. And the scripture says that Paul preached the kingdom of God. And he taught the things concerning the Lord Jesus with confidence. Nobody forbid him. And people came to him. Why? Because he had something in him. Amen.
Amen.
He had something in him.
Amen.
And he had something to give away. He had something to give away. I can't give what I don't have. And neither can you. May the Lord help us. May He continue to hide and tuck away His wondrous truth within our heart that we'll have something of Him to give away. May He continue to establish testimony upon testimony in our life that we have something to give away. May He continue to fortify and strengthen our convictions and our compassion for one another that we have something of value to give away. So when we offer somebody something, we're offering them something that's been put in us that we have to give away. Amen. I'm not offering you something that my neighbor has. I'm offering you something that I have. I got something to give you. And it'll help you because it's helped me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you. We bless you today. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your grace. Thank you for hiding your word within us. And I pray that we would today mingle your truth with faith, that we'll just trust you. We'll believe you. And as a result, we'll be able to help others around us. There's a lot of needy people in this world. A lot of people need help. A lot of people in here need help. And we pray that as our answer for life and living, that you'll continue to pour out your favor upon us. Continue to pour your truth within us. Continue to give us something to go give away. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.